My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Crazy game Monday Night Football, just filled with penalties and bizarre things that, Pearl, if we could go another 100 years and never see two doinked field goals and a Hail Mary all in the same game.
Is the mic that captures a doink getting louder every year? Last night was deafening. You could hear it upstairs in my apartment after Greg Zuerlein just... Oh, my God, he was so terrible.
Well, and he really did cost his team. But a lot of things did, right? And we'll get more into this game. We're asking you on social media where you can watch the show if you'd like on X at Maggie Gray. Also, youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet, twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork if you want to see how we all look this morning, which is beleaguered, especially that side of the glass. But here's the thing. Despite all the awful officiating, and boy, was it awful, the Jets still had the ball with about 3 minutes left to go, all of your timeouts, and Aaron Rodgers under center. The fact that they didn't win that game is something that Rodgers, who played very well last night, this is not even a takedown of Rodgers, but when it's winning time, Perloff, I think we'd hold Josh Allen to that same standard. We would hold Mahomes and Lamar Jackson and all these great quarterbacks. We would say if you have the ball at the end of the game, and you've got all your offensive guys, it's the defense that was really taking the hit last night in terms of injuries and stuff, you've got to go win that game.
Yeah, but what stopped that drive?
Penalties?
A holding call.
Yeah.
I mean, and honestly, if they'd hit a big play, it would have been taken back by either a legal procedure or holding. So you say
sloppy,
that, but there was...
Sloppy.
No, come on.
And the officials were terrible.
There was nothing sloppy about any of it. There was not sloppy. It was not... It was holding in the sense... No, that was the officials. That I can't point to sloppiness, but I saw so many marginal calls that there's no way you can believe that the players were doing this. This was the crew.
It was, but again, like I'll point to when there was no scoring at this game at all, and it's tied 20-20. At one point, Josh Allen, with about 8.5 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter, leads an 11-play drive to get into field goal range at least. These are what the good quarterbacks you expect them to do.
The Jets were living in field goal range.
I know, and they missed two. I get it. But you're telling me when it is 3:43 left and you're starting first and 10 at your 30, I don't think it's too much to ask Aaron Rodgers to go win that game for you, even when it was a disaster penalty-wise. Morgan Moses got the offensive holding call, took it from... it was third and four. They converted. You're first and 10. Then you were what? First and 15, I guess? I don't know.
No,
there was a second. I'm sorry. You're talking about the,
so they were forced,
the Tippmann holding call that made it. Instead of second and 8, it was second and 16.
Yeah, so it was the play that the interception that sealed the game for the Bills was a third and 16. Honestly, I think they would have punted on the next play. So that interception was probably a very effective play. It was a 40-yard
punt, basically.
Punt, arm punt. And then the Jets had one last chance to stop the Bills. The Bills were not going to pass the ball. All you had to do was stack the box and make sure Josh Allen doesn't run for a first down. The Jets' D defensive coaching staff was out to lunch, as they were all game.
Yep.
Well, how come all of a sudden the Bills were running like the 1986 Oklahoma Sooners last night? What was going on there?
I could not have expected that. I predicted that the Jets would run all over the Bills, and we did see a lot of that. And yep. Breece Hall yep. finally comes alive. And Braylon Allen, to be fair, should have scored a touchdown. It was, I thought, questionable holding call where he should have scored. And so they end up getting called for a penalty that moves them back, and then the kicker ends up missing the field goal eventually. So they have no points whatsoever where they were right at the goal line. So that's really frustrating if you're the Jets. I get it. But the Bills' run game came alive. Listen, it was a windy night, and you don't have, like, a great receiving core.
Yeah, where were the Jets' defenders? That's what I didn't understand. Why were they so far back? Who were they covering? I mean, honestly, like, and then when they were covering the guys, they just openly pass interfered. Some of those pass interference calls were good. Like, the Jets were a little handsy. There was one bad one, that was the ball was 10 yards out of bounds. But I felt like the Jets' defensive back should have been able to easily handle this Bills set of receivers. Can I ask a bit? We haven't even gotten into this bigger set of questions for the Bills. Do they have enough offensive weapons to be the kind of team they want to be?
Definitely not. Definitely not.
Oh,
this
man.
Whole, like, everyone eats and receiver by committee, throw that plan right in the garbage.
Wait, are you sure, Maggie? You should feel like you're waffling a lot on that.
No. I guess maybe there's a thought, they'll gel together, like, as the season goes on, but I know they definitely
they
do not.
Pose some problems for this vaunted Jets defense, so maybe that's something.
I mean, I think the run game a lot more issues. The run game. Also, you had a rookie running back in Ray Davis, right, from Kentucky, the great story about, you know, kind of a story a little similar to The Blind Side, I guess. And he basically had the biggest catch of the game.
Yeah, I know.
Outside of Mac Hollins' touchdown catch.
Partly because also the Jets defenders were so terrified to hit Josh Allen because they knew it would be a flag that they let him out of their grasp at least five times.
Oh, he escaped a few times. And both roughing the passer calls, Rodgers got one. And Josh Allen both got one, and they were both bunk. I mean, they were both silly.
Yeah, and the thing is, you really, this is, might be a little contrary. You should not, there should be no roughing the passer on Josh Allen. Because if you don't hit him with everything you got, he's just going to shrug you off and throw a 45-yard pass.
Here's where I'll disagree on that. I think it should be roughing the passer when you blatantly go for his head. And that happens.
He's 6'7". You can't even get to his head.
855-212-4227. We're asking you, though, what was the difference in this game? What are you pointing to? Are you pointing to all the penalties like Perloff is, or me, which is Hall? Aaron Rodgers has the ball in his hands with 3 minutes left to go. You've got to win the game.
Well, you guys, and I know, EJ, you're a Jets fan too. Like, you have to admit, like, Aaron Rodgers looked pretty darn good last night.
I thought he did too.
If you get that Aaron Rodgers the rest of the season, you'll still be bad because you're obviously poorly coached and you have a terrible kicker. But that would be at least entertaining on offense.
Well, listen, kicker you can change. You can always get a new kicker. I don't know if they're going to do that this week, but Tyler Bass for the Bills has also been totally shaky.
He scares me.
Yeah, you think? He's one of the highest paid players on the team. Think about that. I put this out on social last night. You guys would be shocked about the amount of conversations I have about Tyler Bass on a daily basis. It's a big deal if you're really entrenched into Bills Mafia.
Yeah, I mean, you're 4-2. You really, it's going to be very hard to lose this division.
Well, I mean, we'll see. We'll see. They could end up splitting with the Jets. That wasn't a masterpiece here.
Yeah,
Buffalo.
But I mean, they're massive Vegas odds on favorite to win the AFC East again, because the Jets obviously have their problems. The Dolphins have injuries, and the Patriots are the one of the worst teams in the league. Yeah. So it just feels like, once again, the Bills. But I think the important question for the Bills should not be, are they going to win the division? Is this a Super Bowl contender?
I don't think so, and I think that's why they need to be aggressive at the trade deadline. They were last year.
Ooh, okay.
And I think they should be again this year. A receiver, Davante Adams. If that hamstring is actually like a smokescreen, which I'm kind of hoping it is, I don't know.
That's really interesting. So that would transform them.
I would help.
Yeah.
I mean, a good wide receiver, I think, would help.
Yeah. No, I like it. I mean, it's going to cost you.
This is the window. You're in it. Well, who cares? You know, what do I care? Especially, it's not like I'm going to get fired in 5 years. I've been with this team for 40 years. Okay, so you're welcome to weigh in on last night's game. And I'm wondering if more people were frustrated just by the amount of penalties. Like, did you turn it off? If you had no dog in this fight, I would have turned that game off. If I didn't have to watch it for my job, It was just so ugly. Like, when is this going to catch up with the NFL, these awful penalty flag fests?
Oh, you're not going to see that again. I guarantee Roger Goodell made a call last night. Because that was in front of all the local sponsors. The officiator, you will not see a game like that again. That crew is going to have a strict talking to.
I hope so.
This happens often early in the season where officials are throwing a lot of flags on certain things that the players clearly can't adjust to. The league will just let it go.
Good. Yeah. This is where I'm with them on this. Like, let's play the actual game and let the game decide the game, not the officials.
The funny thing, the officials have all the help in the world with the replay assist now, which worked several times last night. Like, it should be easier to officiate. And when you start calling all those flags, tempers start to flare too, because players get frustrated and angry, and it almost led to a fight last night. I think the Jets are wildly undisciplined because they're poorly coached. So, I don't think you're going to see another game like that in prime time.
Oh, and the Bills were undisciplined too. I mean, Deion Dawkins got a terrible penalty, Spencer Brown. So Spencer Brown actually did say something about that after. He's like, listen, we're all going about our business. I know there's a rivalry here, but we're going about our business. And it's like wasps in a jar is what he said. And when the bad penalties start coming in,
yeah,
it's like shaking the jar.
Yeah. Have you ever... When I play basketball with officials, you get much closer to fights. People get angry
because of the calls.
Right. Well, just the presence of the officials causes anger.
Mm.
I don't know what it is. And the more flags, the more anger there's going to be. I think, I don't know. I just think some of the offensive holding on run plays, like, they're definitely making emphasis this year. You can see it. I've seen how many touchdowns are getting called back. Just so many big plays. So officials have to realize that if it's marginal, you could be costing an 80-yard touchdown. I don't think they are thinking like that right now.
They should be. 855-212-4227. Joe Buck actually had a line about this last night, but I'm not sure how many people would understand this line if you're if you don't work in media. He said Adrian Hill, who was the lead referee yesterday, said he's going to need a SAG card because he had so much time on TV. I think people know that's the Screen Actors Guild, but he never explained it. So I wonder if that joke went over some people's heads. Okay. You're welcome to weigh in on this game, 855-212-4227. What you've seen from Rodgers. EJ says he's washed. What about you?
By the way, can we just say one thing? There will never, on this show, as long as I'm here, we cannot say a bad word about Deion Dawkins, because... Who was there when our producer EJ Stewart got hurt?
Well, I mean, he still owes you something.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, Deion was great in the moment, and I don't want to hold anything against him. Like, I'm the one who got hurt, so
EJ tore his patella tendon. Two
I just
places.
Think it's a
Deion Dawkins celebrity kickball tournament.
I just think it's a story for your grandchildren that I tore up my knee and the person that was there to comfort me was Deion Dawkins. I think you're taking that too lightly. No, but he was so unbelievably nice that day.
Awesome, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like you should embrace the Deion Dawkinsness of this. That makes the story so much better.
No, you got to hate this guy now.
What?
No, I don't hate Deion for getting injured. It was insult to injury to watch him, like, clowning my team.
That's
night.
Why you hate him. No.
I'm like, I got hurt on that field, and I was giving more effort than the Jets were.
Okay. I think you could compartmentalize. Yes, you do hate him as a rival to the Jets, but you got to add that to your story, EJ. I don't know if he's a Hall of Fame level player, but he's definitely a multiple-time Pro Bowler. That's a cool part.
Yeah, he might be on his way. He might be.
He could be.
Speaking of a future Hall of Fame offensive lineman last night, Tyron Smith.
Yeah, it might be dumb for him, too.
Do you know, though? Because another crew might let a lot of that stuff go. He let Espinosa go by him.
Yeah,
but,
I was going to say Espinosa.
You're not talking about the hole. You're talking about AJ Espinosa running around him.
Yeah. I was talking about that one. And then also when he's at, this one maybe wasn't his fault. He's lead blocking for, was it Allen or Hall? I think Breece Hall.
Breece,
He's lead blocking, and Breece Hall doesn't follow him. So he basically just runs right into the Bills defender. It's like, dude, what are you doing?
Breece has a weird, like, death perception where it's like you feel like he's just run one way and he just runs right into the defense sometimes. That was one of them. I didn't want to blame Tyron Smith. But he looked so slow on that play. It just looked bad.
I got to tell you, I was not impressed by Breece Hall last night. I know the numbers are great.
Really?
I just thought, like,
he should have scored the touchdown when he broke down the
sideline. That was a bad play. There were some negative runs that I thought he didn't look super explosive on. I'm not sure. I just, like, he was, came in last night. He was only averaging 2.9 yards per carry, and the Bills gave him all the room in the world to run.
Yep.
I'm not sure that he had that drop on the first drive. That was big. I mean, it's early in the game. He had a couple catches. I'm just not sure that guy's a winning player. I don't know what my vibe is on it. I don't know if anybody on the Jets is a winning player.
Wow.
I mean, he had 160 yards of offense.
I just can't
put that on him.
It's just the idea that he's would be like better than McCaffrey this year. That's not true. But
I think maybe
he's
it's
beside
the bar. Is he though? I mean, he was not good the rest of this year. Like he's definitely. I've seen him run into that line like and not make a cut.
I want to see him behind a line that's not 100 years old. Like I really feel like if he was playing for the Bills, he would have ran for 250 yards against the Jets.
Definitely.
Like he would just like you know you're talking about hitting home runs. Like you know those you know plays by you know the Bills where the running back's getting 15, those are going for 50 with Breece Hall. It's just the Jets don't create holes. I also think the Jets' blocking scheme is weird. I think they're trying to zone block, but they end up not blocking anybody. It's the whole run game has been a mess. Somehow the Maggie was 100% right. They actually ran the ball well last night, but
I mean,
still
I think
not up to snuff.
You should really be able to gash the Bills without Milano. No?
Definitely. The safety stepped up a little bit last night, though, to be fair. The linebacker core, you got a couple guys back, too, are actually starters. So that made a big difference.
One thing, too, and you're not exactly blocking for a mobile quarterback. On every Rodgers is a statue back there.
He cannot move.
Obviously. So that doesn't help that you have this old line. If there was maybe a mobile guy that could help them out, that would be nice.
Well, I mean, this is this trade-off with Rodgers, right? You get everything from the neck up and nothing from the waist down because he just can't move. But, yeah, the Bills got to him a couple times. If he... He took what? How many big hits last night? Four?
Yeah, around there.
And I would say he probably took about four against the Vikings. I think he's probably averaging about four big hits a game. Can you last till the end of the season like that? Here's the thing. He's never going to really expose himself to like major hits because he's never going to run. He'll never just like outside the pocket and somebody's going to just be able to just womp him.
You know what I wish he would do? And I thought he would do this, which is why I wasn't as concerned about the offensive line and I should have been more concerned, is I you know how Brady, when anybody would get close to him, he just throw the ball in the dirt.
Yep.
Like he always find just some like tight end or somewhere, just throw the ball in the dirt and like so you couldn't touch him. Rodgers just doesn't do that. Like he just says, all right, I'm going to try to get around this guy or I'm just going to get blasted and there's nothing I can do about it. Brady, I just remember like, unless he was facing the Giants, he just didn't face like just these massive, massive hits every week. Even when the offensive line wasn't that great.
It's funny. So when I used to work with Bart Scott, I would ask him a lot about playing against Tom Brady because that's when the Jets were actually competitive against Tom Brady. And he also faced him when he was playing for the Ravens. And he said Tom Brady was the least satisfying person to tackle. He's like, he just goes down. There's nothing satisfying about this. And Bart was a middle linebacker. He wasn't as much of a pass rusher. But he just like, he's like, there was nothing like... You didn't feel great about it. You never really got him.
I would not want to do that. I would not want to be Bart Scott playing Tom Brady. It must have been so annoying.
Well, it was, but they got him a couple times, so it was also a little bit satisfying.
I actually was thinking something last night. If they lose to the Steelers, when do you start to talk about... You're not going to shut Rodgers down, but you're sure going to think about it.
Shut him down? He runs the franchise. He runs everything.
I know. I mean, remember when this is one of his last years in Green Bay, when they got he's like, I'm going to stick out there until we're mathematically eliminated. Like, at a certain point, like, you're going to have to start saving him for next year.
They're not going to be mathematically eliminated for a long time.
They're 2-4.
I think there's still wins here for them. I'm
really?
Holding on.
It's a big game Sunday night. I mean, I haven't seen a line. I assume they're, 3 or 4 point underdogs?
You have the Bill Belichick sound?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So Belichick was on the Manning cast last night. Speaking of all those Jets, Patriots, brouhahas, Bill Belichick has a long history with the Jets. He was a coach there. He was almost a head coach there until he famously resigned on a napkin, saying he wanted to resign as HC of the NYJ. Ends up going to the Patriots, where he basically tortured the Jets outside of a couple of years for almost two decades. So he's not a fan of the Jets at all. Here was Belichick on the Manning cast. Ouch. People are not a fan of this Robert Saleh firing.
Yeah, they should have waited a week.
They could have, yeah.
Yeah,
well,
I mean, they should have.
Be on a short week this week.
I just think that they should have kept him around for this particular Bills game and then fire him because they were lost in the beginning on defense.
That is true.
I think the Bills kind of took their foot off the gas a little bit.
I think what's interesting about that clip is that there was a thought, I think, that Belichick might be a candidate
yes.
to take over for the Jets yeah. next year, that clearly is not happening because you don't blast the owner on Monday Night Football if you actually want that job.
Right. I mean, we said all along, though, we know that Belichick hates the Jets, so it doesn't make any. Yeah, of course, on paper, the Jets look like a destination, and all these Jets people are like, go get Belichick. It's not happening.
No, the bad blood still runs deep. Sometimes you feel like, all right, little money, you know, maybe can solve this, maybe patch up any kind of hurt feelings. I don't think so.
I'm glad he said that, though, yeah. because even though I'm not even sure how much I love the idea of Belichick, but I think it's time for the national audience to understand, and Maggie's been on this a lot, how much the ownership is the problem.
Yeah,
it's time for Woody Johnson to sell the team. It's just that simple. Bill's right. 10 years, basically, of 30% winning percentage type football, missing the playoffs every single year, and just watching this team consistently be so poorly coached, so undisciplined, so lacking a plan. And it doesn't matter who the quarterback is, doesn't matter who the coach is, it's the same thing every year, and the ownership is the same. And at a certain point, I know it'd be easy to jump on the guy in Carolina and some of these other guys who may be a little more visible and a little more kind of buffoonish in their clownery. But I think Woody Johnson gets a free pass. I don't know why. Not yeah. in New York, but just nationally. Mm. He is, besides the guy in Carolina, Tepper, he's the worst owner in the NFL. It's not even close.
I love you. Cowboy fans would like a word.
They made bad
the playoffs.
Owners.
They made the playoffs
yeah.
at least. They
yeah,
made the playoffs at least. Like, and like, you know, yes, it's always heartbreak at the end, but like your team is competitive. The Jets aren't competitive. They haven't been competitive for a decade.
I mean, you're right. David Tepper, if the bar is throwing a drink on your own fan, then yeah, Woody Johnson's done that. He's done some real unsavory things.
I mean,
some bad stories about when he was the ambassador to the UK saying things that were racist. I mean, he is not a picnic.
No.
You got the Bidwills still around. You got Mike Brown in Cincinnati. I think
all those teams make the playoffs, Pearl.
Jimmy Haslam.
Yeah, I mean, Jimmy Haslam in Cleveland. Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but I think there's a lot of infamously bad owners. I think Woody Johnson's viewed as one of them, too. I'm not sure he gets as much as a pass as you're saying.
By the way, that's a pipe dream that he's ever going to sell. They are going to pass this thing down to whatever Johnson & Johnson's till the end of time.
Now,
they're
Keyshawn
never
Johnson,
letting
can
go.
Can he get the Keyshawn Johnson, maybe? Is there a former Jet Chris Johnson? Can he get the team, maybe? Not Christopher. Chris.
You know.
Played for the Titans.
CJ2K.
Yeah.
The Lions had probably the worst ownership situation in the league. They were the most poorly run franchise, and now they're a potential dynasty. So it does turn around.
Yeah.
I know that sounds weird.
Just got to hand it to a woman. Is there a woman Johnson who can run this? Because didn't that finally happen with the Lions?
And
one of the daughters took over, or granddaughters or whatever, and finally they got good again.
Yeah, someone under 93 helps too.
Oh, right, in that. 855-212-4227. All right, we will get to Aiden Hutchinson in just a moment. We got an update for you on his leg. All right, Perloff, this is the time of year for Prize Picks. When every sport basically is going on all at once, this is why you need Prize Picks, because it's the daily fantasy sports app that's so simple to use. You pick two or more players across any sport, then just pick more or less on their projection, and then you could win up to 100 times your money. Prize Picks was invented for
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This time of year.
So let me tell you my story about last night. I knew the game was in New York, the Bills Jets, and I went outside and I actually put my finger up in the air and said, the wind is too much. Aaron Rodgers is going under on yards. Somehow he went over. So I cannot wait to pick up the app today because I am getting revenge. I'm going to dive into baseball.
That's why you need Flex Play.
Yeah, 100%.
Perfect for you. You can cash out even if one of your picks doesn't hit.
Okay, download the Prize Picks app today and use code MNP and get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. That's code MNP on Prize Picks to get a $50 credit instantly when you play just $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game. Must be present in certain states where it's lawful to wager. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details. Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. Is this one of those annoying Mets songs that you're playing here?
No, that's Who Let the Dogs Out, and that was 25 years ago.
Don't they have 24. A song this year?
It's called OMG. It's a banger. It's not tub thumping.
Did they have another song? Don't they come up with a new song all the time? I can't even keep track of all that. By the way, what's wrong with tub thumping? Well, tub thumping is an awesome, inspirational song.
I think this was like from our one-hit wonder bracket that we did during the NCAA tournament. Was Chumbawamba?
Yeah, of course. But and it's an amazing. I have teams have probably adapted this song at some point.
I don't think so.
Feels like it plays in stadiums a lot.
I hate that song. It's so annoying.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
I feel like you hate
it. If somebody put it in there.
I think it's the one hit wonder bracket. We have a lot of things in there. Barbie Girl by Aqua or whatever. I don't want to play those, but
Top Thumping's iconic.
I hate a lot of songs everybody likes, Maggie.
Oh, it's the Don't Stop Believing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sweet Caroline, I too.
Caroline. Especially EJ's rendition. Sorry.
I enjoyed EJ's rendition.
I did karaoke over the weekend, by the way.
Oh, no way. What'd you sing?
Oh, my gosh. I got a whole list. I got a playlist for you guys if you want. I had to go to my go-tos, obviously.
Okay.
Janis Joplin. Take Another Little Piece of My Heart.
That's a challenging one. That's pretty good.
I know. I'm surprised my vocal cords are still intact. Valerie is always a good one.
Steve Winwood, Valerie? Valerie?
No, the Amy Winehouse version.
Okay, I don't know that one.
I Want to Dance with Somebody, got to do a little Whitney.
Is there video of any of these performances?
There's some still photos.
Some count.
And Africa by Toto is one that my friends and I have been singing since college.
That's a banger.
Long before it got popular, ironically. Mm. We were making it popular, ironically, 20 years ago.
Yeah. I think it was a number one hit for like 3 years. But yeah, I don't think you guys invented that song.
I got to be real. I'm a little disappointed, Maggie.
Jolene, I also did. Dolly Parton, yes.
Fellow millennial. I know I'm a little younger millennial, but I'm disappointed.
Why?
No boy band, no Britney, Christine. Like, where is the late 90s?
We did Do You Want It All? Nothing. That one. All For You. That one. All For One. That one.
I was just waiting to hear Backstreet Boys and
Britney.
What are we doing?
A little Oasis. Okay. Don't Look Back in Anger.
Were you guys in your own little room?
Hell yeah. Okay. I would never do that out in public. No shot.
I was going to ask you.
In public a couple weeks ago. Wasn't bad. I crushed it, actually. I had like
What's your go-to?
I bet Nick does Frank Sinatra.
No, I did a few different songs. Hold on. I have a list too. I'll get back to you in one second.
Stand by. for Nick's list.
Yeah, how drunk were you guys? You don't even remember what songs you guys were singing.
Very. Well, the other part is you just do so many that it's just they all fade away.
Oh, one I did was you remember All My Life by Casey and JoJo?
Oh, I love that song.
Yeah.
That was a TRL staple for the Carson Daly fans out there.
All My Life by Casey and JoJo?
Yeah, great song. All my life, I pray for someone like you.
Yeah, sounds you just like one? It.
Wow. Nick might be in the EJ
Casey
category.
Casey and JoJo, I can't. These headlines are sponsored by Prize Picks. Football season's here, and Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action. Download Prize Picks and use code MANDPA and get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
I'm sorry, that's Manned P.
Oh, that's right, Manned P. Sorry.
But seriously, M and P.
Yes.
It's important.
It's a big M, A-N-D, capital P as well. It seems easy to read, but I guess not. My apologies. It's her latest cry for help. She tweeted it last night. She said it last segment, quote, "You'd be shocked if I told you how many Tyler Bass conversations I have during the course of a day. Not even the Bass family should be discussing Tyler Daly, but here's our sweet Maggie in this hell." However, there was Tyler last night in New Jersey kind of making the deciding play.
Snap by Ferguson, hold by Martin, kick by Bass is up, and it is good. So with 3:43 left, the tie has finally been broken. Bills have the lead, 23-20.
Chris Brown on Bills Radio. Those were the only points Buffalo scored in the second half of Monday Night Football, but they were the difference after Taron Johnson picked off Aaron Rodgers for a 23-20 final. Josh Allen's crew snapping a two-game skid, taking a game-and-a-half lead on Miami for first in the AFC.
Big game for us in terms of where it stands. In the grand scheme of things, though, it was the next one, and that's why it was the most important. We'll turn our attention to Sunday.
Allen threw for two scores last night, as did Aaron Rodgers, but his offense 1-for-4 in the red zone, including two missed field goals from Greg Zuerlein in the second half. They dropped to 2-4 in their first game after firing Robert Saleh and demoting offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett.
EJ, I know you're a Jets fan. I saw a lot last night. If Zuerlein was in his game, if he was normal Zuerlein, they would be 4-2 right now.
Yeah, because he was really good last year. He's been a good Jet. This year, he's been terrible.
Kind of probably cost him the Broncos game because that was a missed that field goal and last night cost. That's really bad when your kicker costs you two games in a potential playoff year. Now you're 2-4, which analytically means you're a real dark horse to make the playoffs.
I mean, but two doinks. I mean, what are the odds of that? A 32-yard?
I could kick a 32-yard.
You could not.
Oh, I definitely could. 32 is not hard. You ever kick field goal?
I have. I couldn't make a 25-yarder.
How do we make this happen?
Oh, I'm terrible. I don't want to do this.
32 is close. I mean, that you're not far at all.
I mean, Pat McAfee has some kids who definitely are drunk or high or something on college game day hitting 40-yarders. I think Pearl can do it.
Buck said that. He's like, I've seen better kicks on college game day. That was after Bass missed an extra point.
I think he cut Zuerlein today. I'm sorry. I know he's had a great career. I think you have to. The Jets, you can't fire any more coaches. You can't fire Ulbrich.
I know. I mean, I think Zuerlein definitely is a suspect in terms of who could be axed for last night. I think it would probably be Javon Kinlaw. If somebody's going to wear the loss, I think it's going to be him. I think
what about Mike Williams?
He could, if Davante Adams is traded for in the next few days, I think it could be Mike Williams. But
By the way, Mike Williams might be on IR with a concussion. I mean, he was holding his head last night.
I couldn't tell if that was a neck or concussion thing, but yeah, he definitely could be concussion protocol. He didn't look good. But I think it's so hard to find a kicker who knows those wins.
I think that was embarrassment protocol, too. I mean,
I was wondering if he was, but I don't want to. That's too dicey.
How did the concussion happen?
Well, like, Rapp kind of landed on his head, like when he dove for the interception.
Okay.
Like, he kind of clipped him in the back of the head. So I understood why he was hurt. But I agree. Somebody's going to wear the loss. I just think that the Jets are going to be more inclined to say Zuerlein's been great. It's been a bad first few games. Maybe they'll give him another shot.
Although Rodgers aired out Mike Williams. He basically said after that he ran the wrong route.
Oh, can we talk about it? We didn't even get to, of all the horrible things of that turf as well. That's another reason I don't believe in the Jets. Like, how are people going to stay healthy on that ice skating rink in the Meadowlands?
The great Woody Johnson.
Horrible.
Thanks for that
horrible.
One, buddy.
The Giants owners share blame in that too. I just love it's like the World Cup's coming. What do you need? Any kind of grass you want. Anyway.
Can I ask who's bothering you, or are you starting the Tyler Bass daily conversations? Like, where do those come from?
I got a lot of people in my life that are Bills fans, and we talk about this a lot. I've done whole radio interviews about it with our guys in Rochester. Love those guys.
Start a support group.
Gene Battaglia, Mike Danger.
Okay, but that's, you know, that's the target audience for them is Tyler Bass conversations.
Yeah.
Like on a Wednesday afternoon, your phone buzzes and somebody from your karaoke group is going, is Tyler Bass still our kicker?
Just a panic.
Okay.
Sheer panic.
Jim Harbaugh says he'll wear a heart monitor for the next 2 weeks. He's also taking some medication to prevent the irregular heartbeat that took him off the field for part of Sunday's game in Denver. The Guardians almost literally threw away game one of the ALCS at Yankee Stadium last night. 9 walks and 5 wild pitches, 2 of which brought in runs in 1 inning. Manager Steven Vogt's pitchers threw 158 pitches over 8 innings.
We talked about this before the series started. These guys work the count. You know, they don't chase a whole lot. And, you know, I think if I take something away from tonight, we just need to attack the zone better. And we didn't tonight. And they made us work.
The Yankees also got homers from Soto and Stanton, a 4-out save from Luke Weaver, and a 5-2 series opening win. The Mets, meanwhile, get a split at Dodger Stadium 7-3. Francisco Lindor snapped LA's 33-inning scoreless streak with a leadoff homer. Mark Vientos followed with a grand slam in the second. Kawhi Leonard will not play Thursday's preseason finale, so he'll miss all of the Clippers' warm-up games. His status for next week's opener remains unknown because of his lingering knee issue. Unlike Cam Rising, Graham Mertz is out of eligibility, his college career ending with a torn ACL from the weekend. Florida now goes with true freshman QB DJ Lagway.
How is that possible that Graham Mertz, nobody's out of eligibility? I thought that isn't a thing anymore. I saw last night Graham Mertz is like, I'm done with my college career. You positive? I feel like that guy could play another 3 years.
I mean, I'm going to trust Graham, and Graham knows I know he's done. That.
I think he just wants to go get an investment banking job. I don't think he's really... I bet you he has eligibility somewhere.
I think the problem is he actually played full seasons. Like, Cam keeps accidentally falling into, like, medical red shirts and stuff.
Cam Rising, yeah.
Yes.
Gotcha. No, I was surprised at that headline that Graham Mertz's career is finally over.
Because he definitely played multiple years at Wisconsin, and this is his second year in Florida, and he's played more than 4 games this year, so he can't redshirt.
I guess. I mean, listen, this
is not a bylaw somewhere.
Yeah, right. The COVID year. So you counted the COVID year there, right?
Yeah, I think his COVID year, and I think he was hurt once at Wisconsin, and this is him. Like I don't think he's 25 like Cam Rising, but he's been in college for a long time, like most of these guys.
Right. And the great fact about Graham Mertz, of course, grew up next door to CBS college football writer Dennis Dodd. Fascinating. Kansas City.
Is
back
that
to you, Bogus.
Yeah, no, thanks. Actually, I couldn't follow up on that. So back to you,
Dennis
buddy.
Dennis Dodd.
Yeah, top
solid, solid college football writer. Neighbor of Graham Mertz.
Wow.
Glad you said it twice.
You learn something new every day.
We didn't learn that. I learned that on the Maggie and Perloff show when Dennis Dodd told us that. That's the only reason.
What's
when I think of Graham Mertz, that's probably the biggest takeaway from his disappointing college football career.
Let's go back to Nick's karaoke breakdown.
I think we got it.
Okay.
855-212-4227. Lots more to do. We've been telling you about this Aiden Hutchinson update that we have for you. We'll get to it next. Good call, Nick. Good karaoke song, dude. Banger.
This song familiar sucks. Perloff now? You know this one?
Have you ever heard this song?
No, and it's terrible.
Oh, it's a great karaoke song.
It's a great song. I have a video of me doing it, too. I'll show you later.
Is this like Backstreet Boys or something? You said Casey and JoJo. What are they?
They're a duo, not a full boy band, but
they're in that genre.
Yeah, more like R&B. All right, welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Let's get to Aiden Hutchinson. We've got an update for you from Dan Campbell on the Lions pass rusher who broke his leg in a very gruesome way against the Cowboys. Here is Campbell on the impact of losing Hutchinson.
Man, Hutch is a captain for us. Highly productive player, great teammate, does everything right, and was having one hell of a game, one hell of a season. And so, look, that it hurts. It hurts to lose somebody like him, not only the player, but the person that's in that locker room, the leader that he is.
All right, let's just underscore just how productive a season it had been for Aiden Hutchinson. He was the NFL's sack leader through the first 6 games of the year. He had 6.5 sacks, which is more than everyone else on the Lions defense combined. He was ESPN's pass rush win rate ratings the leader, as well as being the highest ranked edge rusher by Pro Football Focus. He was putting together a defensive player of the year type of season. And also, Perloff, as we talked about yesterday a little bit, the Lions have yet to play an NFC North game yet. This is all the really important stuff in this very hard division is all in front of them, including a game against the Vikings this weekend.
Yeah, it's not ideal. It's not ideal
to lose a guy.
Also, they lost their other two guys too. They lost Marcus Davenport earlier in the year, so they have nobody. I honestly think the Lions have the rest of the NFC North just where they want them.
Wow, that's optimistic.
I feel really good about the Lions because for a bunch of reasons. One, because Dan Campbell and that coaching staff is outstanding. I think Aaron Glenn's a really good defensive coordinator. So you know the assignment right now. You can't generate any pressure without Hutchinson. So you're going to have to blitz. You're going to have to do all sorts of weird things. But they have some time to figure this out. The other thing is their offense is so elite.
Yeah.
Can their defense was awful last year. Just awful. They got to within two plays of being in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Honestly, if Jahmyr Gibbs doesn't fumble and Josh Reynolds catches that fourth down ball, they're in the Super Bowl. Even without Hutchinson, their defense is probably just as good as last year's. So I think that last year, I just looked at the number. They were 19th in defense. I think they can hang around there, and their offense is better. They have Tim Patrick, and they have Jameson Williams as a star. So I think their offense almost got them there last year. I see no reason it can't do it this year. They're going to control the ball, not put that defense out on the field.
Well, they've got the great run game with the two running backs for sure, but I guess I was kind of with you yesterday, like, all right, you know, they're going to be able to weather the storm. But then you start really diving into the Aiden Hutchinson season that he's having. And, yeah, the offense has been good the last 2 weeks, for sure. And they obviously put a thumping on the Cowboys. But the first couple weeks, it wasn't that great. So I don't know if maybe they're finding themselves now and this is just the launching point and Jared Goff could be an MVP candidate and all that. But I want to wait and see now how it looks without Hutchinson. So as far as this season for him, though, here's more from Dan Campbell, who won't rule out a playoff return for Hutchinson.
4 to 6 months, I would never count Hutch out, ever. So, yeah, probably, you know, long road, but I would never count him out. And I would say if anybody can make it back, it'd be him.
All right.
He was saying that offhandedly. I don't think that's any part of the real plan.
The Lions themselves said he's done for the season.
Yeah, they're probably going to pick up, like, trade a fourth-round pick for some veteran. Maybe pick up Javon Kinlaw off your terrible
Although Yannick Ngakoue just signed with someone else yesterday. Was it the Ravens again? I think so.
Well, regardless, they'll pick up a journeyman just to put a body in there. I think that, again, I really think that this is one team that is built to do this. They're not like T.J. Watt and the Steelers, because the Steelers have no offense at all. Well, obviously, when T.J. Watt's gone, they're terrible. When Myles Garrett is gone, the Browns are terrible. When Nick Bosa got hurt, the Niners fell apart. That was a little more complicated. But I just don't think that's his team. I think they're still a playoff team for sure. And if they get in the playoffs with that offense, I think they're dangerous.
Again, though, I mean, at some point, your defense is going to have to make a stop. And
Who did they stop last year?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I think if they,
like, they were the best team in they were definitely outplayed the Niners in that game. Like, they should have won that game.
They should have won that
game. No defense at all.
But the other two teams they played, they were just better than. They were better than the Bucs, and they beat the Rams by a point. These were not blowout games. And yeah, they should have beaten the 49ers. They had a 3-score lead and couldn't hold it for a variety of reasons. I want to see what it looks like. Again, just can't underscore how rough the timing is. Like, you got no division games under your belt with Hutchinson in the lineup. That's a bummer, because this division, we've talked about the NFC North, this is the murderer's row. This is the division this year that is the best top to bottom. And it's not even close. So,
yes,
it's a bummer.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, but we'll see. I mean, Minnesota is 5-0, but
we'll see how they do against the
Lions.
Are they really
the juggernaut that they look like so far?
I don't think so, but I don't know, because I'm waiting for the Sam Darnold pixie dust to sort of wear off a little bit, and you saw a little of that even in London against the Jets. Here's another question for you. So yesterday, Adam Schefter's on all the shows and is talking about Max Crosby. You know, could Max Crosby be somebody who's maybe on the trading block, because obviously Devontae Adams is, and maybe the Raiders are having some kind of fire sale. He said multiple first-rounders is where it starts. So if you are someone like the Lions, I don't know if they would do that, but they were talking about it in the context of the Lions. Do you do multiple firsts to bring in Max Crosby? I mean, you'll have him for the rest of this run. However long your window's open here, you'd have him.
Yeah, I'd
so
be
it's
shocked.
An investment.
I'd be shocked beyond shocked if the Lions did this because they got to pay everybody. They have so many young stars.
They paid Goff, so they got him. They got his extension done. They got him on Ross St. Brown done.
Right, but they got to pay Hutch.
Hutch, yeah.
They got to pay
Ryan Branch at some point.
They just paid Montgomery. They're going to have to pay Gibbs at a certain point.
Yeah, but what are you paying running backs these days? That's
like 10. I mean,
you're not breaking the bank with that.
They just gave 2 years, $18 million to Montgomery, and you've got to think Gibbs is probably worth 25% more than him. I don't know. They have a lot of guys, and mainly Hutchinson. Oh,
it's
and
the
Petty,
offensive line.
They got Sewell.
That's, I think they already paid him.
Did they?
Yeah. They should have, the way that in terms of his draft class, he would have already gotten paid.
Okay. I can't see. Max Crosby's, how much has he got paid?
I mean, I think he's a $25 million a year pass rusher. So we have to take a look at that. But I don't know. See, this is the thing. Yeah, it's a lot. But again, it's not like that's not a rental. That's somebody who you would have. And who wouldn't Max Crosby fit in perfectly with this team? He'd fit in perfectly anywhere. But wouldn't he fit in perfectly? I don't know as far as like scheme and stuff like that, but just as far as a dog can get up after the other quarterback. Yeah.
So
EJ.
Crosby, by the way, signed a 4-year, $95 million contract extension in 2022. And then the team this offseason gave him a $6 million raise for this season.
Okay. All right. So maybe he is coming to the end of the contract.
Oh, have they paid Branch and Kirby Joseph, their two new megastars?
It wouldn't be Branch yet because he was a rookie last year.
Right, right. So, and Kirby Joseph is now, like, I think going to probably be an All-Pro. So they have a lot. You go up and down that team, there's a lot of guys to pay. Also, I just don't think they will. I don't think they build like that because they are such a good draft and develop team. They're not I don't think they've really made a trade like that.
Okay, but think about it. If you still think they're the class of this NFC North, which is the best division in football, look at what's going on. The 49ers are a little bit shaky. Your Eagles are shaky. The Seahawks are shaky. The Cowboys, sheesh. I mean, they just demolished the Cowboys. That's not even close.
Yeah.
The NFC South, I don't know.
So you would
I'll
do
take
it.
My chances.
I like the Raiders want those. They're not that interested in probably a 29, 30 first round pick.
They should be interested in everything. I think that when you see the window, you've got to capitalize. I do. As a fan of a team where it's not like you've had sustained winning for generations. And I'm not saying you have to be reckless, but to me, when you finally get good and things finally turn and start going your way, this is the time you've got to capitalize. What are you waiting for?
I wouldn't at all. I think you look at the two dynasties, right? The Patriots and the Chiefs, they never, ever would make a move like this. They would do something around the margins. They would trade a fourth-round pick for Kadarius Toney, or the Patriots did this all the time, a sixth-round pick for Kyle Van Noy. I think the Lions are that kind of team. I think they could be in the playoffs for the next 10 years with this crew. They're so... Yeah.
But here's the thing. Yeah. What do those teams have that the Lions don't have? A Super Bowl. And
they didn't get there by making some massive blockbuster trade.
No, they didn't. But at some point, you did have to do a fortune favors the bull, which is trading away Stafford for Goff. Like you're doing things that would have thought would have been crazy from the fan base. Like you are taking some kinds of risks and they're paying off.
Like, I would look big picture here. I think they're going to be around for a long time.
Yeah. You know, I think it's one of those things where when you have a fan base who's so starved to finally see a winner, I think you owe it to that fan base to try to go for the kill shot, if you will. You know, this is like when you have the Cubs or the Boston Red Sox or Cleveland, you know, when you're these long droughts, gotta do it.
I don't know. It feels like not a team move that like the really smart franchises usually do.
855-212-4227. All right, lots more to get to, including... I mean, Aaron Rodgers with the ball and 3 minutes left. You got to score, bro.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.